And let's have a word of prayer before we read. Heavenly Father, we do want to give you praise and glory. Heavenly Father, for the wonderful gift of salvation. And Lord, we're thankful for that desire that we have, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, the desire is from you to draw us, to call us. And dear Lord, we have a desire to be with you, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, one time you preached among the people. And you told them, except you drink my blood and you eat my flesh, you have no part with me. And dear Lord, many of them walked away and never again went back. And the disciples came to you and they said, many were offended. And he asked the disciples, will you go away also? Lord, you're not going to change your gospel. You're not going to change your word. And the only Father, we need to do our very best to hold faithful to your word, to love your word, to enjoy your word of God. Dear Lord, that it be a part of us. So Lord, that's one purpose we're here in service for tonight, dear Lord, to come to the house of God, to be with the saints, to sing the songs of Zion, but mainly, dear Heavenly Father, to have the word. Dear Lord, we have a Thanksgiving coming up in just a few weeks, dear Lord, and we think about all the preparation it's going to take for a Thanksgiving, and maybe families come in from out of state and just getting together. Enjoy that, dear Heavenly Father. Enjoy being with the family and friends and just the blessings. But dear Lord, there's one thing that many of us come together for, and it's to have a meal. And dear Heavenly Father, to enjoy the meal, dear Heavenly Father, and not only to enjoy the meal, but when we think about a Thanksgiving meal, dear Heavenly Father, it may last for days and even a week or so. So Lord, we come to the service, dear Lord, we're thankful for the service or the word, for the songs, for the testimonies, but dear Lord, we're here for the meal. Dear Heavenly Father, to hear the word of God. And dear Lord, we know that the word can stay with us and not only just last sometimes for days, but even weeks. And sometimes from time to time, there are messages that stay, that resonate in our mind for years, dear Lord. And we are thankful for that. So we ask you to be with us tonight. Help us as we open up the word of God this evening. We ask you to anoint everyone that's here, the ears of each one, the heart. And we ask you to anoint the word, anointment that I'll bring as you'd have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want to look at the thought that he meant there here, and he mentioned here, he says to be strong in the Lord. As I've preached different times and brought the message in camp meeting a year or so ago, and I used the thought of a hinge word. Those of you that are not familiar with a hinge word that I use, the doors that we go through, they have hinges on them. And those hinges are small, but very needful, very important for the door to work. If you remove the hinges, the door would fall. The door would not be operable. You would just push it and it would fall over. But you can go in and out of a door because of the hinges. And even though they're very small there, they're very important. And I've used hinge words many a times. I like what I consider to be hinge word. And in this verse of scripture, the word in is what I'm going to look at this evening. The main word in this verse of scripture I want to look at is in. Because he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. The word doesn't say to be a part of something or just to be associated with it or whatever, just to take time or whatever, to be associated or to be strong in the Lord. When we think about today's language and the word in is, it means not without, not to be without, not to be a part of something different. I want to turn over to John chapter 15. And look at this verse here for a second. In John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, we're going to pick up in verse 1. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Amen. To abide in Christ, to be a part of Christ, to be engrafted into Christ. And he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And we know that in the natural aspect of the world, you go out and sever the branch from the vine, from the main trunk of the tree, it will die. I've been in the woods many a times, and I've seen a limb or a tree limb break off and fall to the ground, and all the leaves are just as green and plush and everything. And just within a day or two, a few days, they start to wither away. And just a little bit of time, there's nothing left. It's dead. And Jesus says, except you abide in me. God's not going to force us to stay with us, but we have to abide in us. And as he goes down through this verse, I read 1 through 5 there, but I'm just going to pick a couple words out, not for time's sake. In verse 6, he says the same thing. Abide, if any man abide not in me. Verse 7, if you abide in me. Verse 9, latter part of verse 9, continue ye in my love. Verse 10, the middle of it, picking up there. Abide in my love. And latter part of verse 10, abide in his love. In verse 11, the middle part there, that my joy may remain in you.
Amen.
In. Amen. In. I think it's a beautiful thought with the word there. We understand that Christ, he's not changing.
Amen.
He's not moving. He's not going to be over here today and back over there tomorrow. He's on a solid rock. He's on a sure foundation. And we need to abide in him today.
Amen.
We can't ask God, well, I want you to walk with me. I want you to abide with me. Or I want you to go my ways. I want to do my thing and I want you to go. God says, no, I can't do that. I have the word. I have the word that I want to give to you, the Spirit. And I want you to abide with me if you want to be associated with Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians, be strong, and that's the main thought here this morning or this evening. Be strong in the Lord.
Right.
There again, I like to say things and let it settle, because it settles on me when I think about it. Be strong, and that phrase right there in itself, what strength, what am I leaning on? What am I trusting in? What is my guidance in the world and the things of life? Be strong. If there's anything you're associated with, anything you're going to lean on, anything you're going to trust on, you need to be strong in Christ. Trust in God. Lean on him. I like the song we sing in our songbook from time to time, Learning to Lean. I like that song. That's not just a song, that's truth. When I first got saved, and I've told you my testimony many times, when I first get saved, God has to help us to learn to lean on him.
Amen.
To learn to trust in God. To trust in him. Like I say, he's not going to bend to us, as I've read in my prayer, as I said in my prayer, when he taught the people, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part with me. And they all went away, and the disciples came to Jesus, and they said to him, don't you know they were offended by your word? And he goes, are you going to leave? Think about that. I don't know how many of us. There's more than 12 of us here or whatever. But Jesus had 12 there. I don't know if it was all 12 there at the very time that this happened. But he had 12 of them. He goes, are you going to go away? If you want to go away, you can go away, because I'm not changing my gospel. I'm not changing my word. Thank God for Peter. He's where we're going to go. You have the words of eternal life. Be strong in God. There's a song in our songbook, and when I sing this part, this phrase of the song, I always kind of emphasize this a little bit because I like it a lot. I in my Savior am blessed. I in my Savior, not I'm with my Savior, I in him. I am a part of him. I'm accepting him. I'm following him. I in my Savior. Not just having Jesus with us.
Amen.
You know, submitting is hard for some people. And it can be hard for us sometimes. Just human nature, I and my Savior. That's how we're blessed. Me accepting, me yielding my life to Jesus Christ, that's how I'm blessed. Being a part of the vine, accepting Him as Lord and Master. Submitting to Christ. The Bible tells us that husband or wives submit to your husbands. That is difficult from time to time for people. But when you're a Christian, when you're a child of God, and you look at it in the aspect of the eyes of the Lord, I'm not allowing Him to be a ruler or a leader over me, so to speak, but submitting, if two people are saved and living for God, submitting to Him and allowing Him to be the head of the house and allowing Him to take responsibility spiritually for one, that's order of God. The Bible says to submit to those that have the rule over you. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. There's all kind of submitting. We all have to submit to one another. The verse, I think it goes on to younger, submit to the elders. You know, those type of things. We all have to submit, and that comes down to the place of being a child of God, submitting to Christ and being a part of Him and being in Him. God alone is God. You take us all out of the picture. You take the whole world out of the picture. He's still God.
Amen.
He's still the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's still the creator of all things. But us alone is nothing. Us without God, Sister Ann talked about 100 people were desiring. There's 100 people across our country desiring to be the mayor of their state. They can become the mayor of their state. It is no value at all if they're not in Christ. None. There's no value to them at all as far as their spiritual soul is concerned. Let's go to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, picking up in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not the man that thinketh that he shall receive anything of the Lord. In verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A couple times the word in is used, but in verse 6 here, he says, let a man ask in faith, not to waver. I would imagine probably all of us are saying, Lord, help me on that.
Yes.
Anytime we ask God for things, there's always the devil sitting right there on our shoulder trying to get us to doubt, to not trust or whatever, but to ask in faith. Let him ask in faith, not wavering, having confidence, having trust that God's going to work. Not to be tossed from one end to the other, a man that will receive nothing there. God's foundation is sure. If I want to be a part of God, I have to move.
Amen.
Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Any man comes to me. Any man hears and will come to me, I will receive him.
Amen.
Come to us. God says, I want you to come to me. I want you to come to the foundation that I have. I want you to stand sure on the foundation that I have that I can bless you.
Amen.
There are many things that we can trust in. People can trust in all kinds of things. There's a lot of things we can't trust in. A lot of things, you know, the weather is real predictable. I have several apps on my phone, of weather apps. And in recent days, I've looked at all of them. And all of them have different ideas. It's going to rain here one day. It's going to be 60 one day. It's going to be 30 one day. The same, all the same days. I'm like, how can you plan anything? People put their trust in things like that, in the weather. We can't trust in necessarily our health. We don't know what what another day will hold. Sister Ann said a couple weeks ago it was their Happy Heart Day. And she said something that knocked on my head a little bit. She said Brother Herschel was 58 when that happened. You have any idea how old I am?
58.
And not only me, I talk to friends, I talk to people I know, and no doubt just like Brother Herschel, they were going on through life, just like that it happened. You don't know. Like somebody mentioned Brother Bird or something, we can go down the road, just like that. An accident can happen, something can be. We don't have confidence, we don't have trust in necessarily our faith, our health, our strength. We don't know of our strength. Lynn's been having some issue with her eye or something, and she doesn't know, just, you know, I don't know what's going on with it, but and she was saying tonight she has an uncle that was a drafter. He did a lot of drafting and designing buildings and things like that, and in his later years in life, I don't even know if he was fully retired yet, but for some reason he had some type of disease and it made him go blind. Wow. Completely blind, and he'd probably been blind for 20 years or better. And she says, every time I think about my eyes getting a little bit problematic there, she says, I think about Uncle Kenny. I think about that. We don't have any control over those things. Right. The Bible tells us that the arm of flesh will fail.
Right.
But God cannot fail. God cannot fail. Be strong in the Lord. You know, there's a lot of men in the world that have all kind of college degrees. All kind of knowledge, all kind of wisdom. And as I read there, I quoted the comment there a little bit. The arm of flesh will fail you. You know, there are people out there that are trying to lead people by their college degrees, their understanding, their studying in different philosophies and even in the Word of God. They study things and they think they have a handle on it without being in Jesus Christ. And many people are following that because they have a degree on their plaque on their wall somewhere. But they don't have any relationship with God. Be strong. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 9 and 10, Paul says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure, and I look at what he says here, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul uses the word in seven times in these two verses. And in these two verses, in one verse he says, he makes me perfect in weakness. My perfection isn't anything to do with me. My perfection is in Christ. My strength is in Christ. And because I'm in Jesus Christ, it says that he says there, he makes me perfect in weakness.
Thank you, Lord.
I've used the scripture many times. Some years ago, God just impressed that verse of scripture on me, and I remember as God dealing with me. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I have, and Paul even, though Paul's not talking here, he enjoys infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution, distress. He doesn't enjoy these things in the physical, but through the power of Christ as he sees God working on him. And as I've said before, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. And God took me through some things some years ago, and I think I was going to say something you were mentioning this morning about Brother Dwayne preaching in Hagerstown, and he made a little a comment how God worked with him and dealt with him. I can't remember. God took him through some things and helped him. I don't remember how all the deal was, but I remember when God was dealing with me back before I became pastor and working with me some things, and I went through a period of battles, And there again, what I said, learning to lean. I had to learn to trust God. And some of those battles, I really just didn't, it was just discouragement. It wasn't anything, one particular thing. There wasn't nothing I could put my hands on. It was just, God was allowing me to go through the battles. And getting me to learn to trust in Him. And God took me through. I think this went on for about 9 months or better. And then another time came in. And the same thing. And it just, there wasn't anything I could put my hands on or face. And I had to learn to trust in God. And after a couple times, it was like 3 or 4 times, God took me through this in that period of months. But I remember the very last time, and I'd get through the battle. You know how you go through a battle. And you get on top, you're on top. And I was rejoicing, I was enjoying the blessings that God had taken me through. And then I remember going right back into another battle after a while. And I thought, and I remembered that. And I said, Lord, You've taken me through this before. I don't understand it. And that's what I say. Count it all joy when you go into these temptations. I counted it joy not because of the temptation, but I counted it joy because I knew God was going to be there to help me through that. And that's what I believe Paul is mentioning here. He mentions this in several different verses here. He says, make me perfect. He says, to make me perfect and weakness. Therefore, I'm trying to find a part here. I think he says, therefore, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. I know that this takes great faith for God to help us to do this. I take pleasures in infirmities and reproach and necessities and persecutions and distress. And he says, and when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Paul and Silas sitting in prison because they did a great deed. Because a woman was following them around and saying these were the men of the Most High God, and she was a fortune teller. And Paul, I always try to think that maybe it took Paul a couple days to have some praying and ask God for strength and everything. Finally, he turned to the woman and he cast out the demon out of the woman. And they took him to the priest and all that. They persecuted him, they beat him and Silas, and they put him in prison. He says, therefore, I take pleasures. Why? Because I'm working for the Lord. Because I'm in God, I'm in Christ. I'm a part of His. I'm able to be a part of His suffering. Of course, you know the story that Paul and Silas started to sing and ended up getting into jail or saved in their household. If we're in Christ, if we are in Jesus Christ, if we are a part of Jesus Christ, we will suffer. We will. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through what Christ had to go through. I've always talked about, when I talk about Job, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody or ever heard anybody say they've ever heard anybody say, I desire to be Job. Nobody ever prays to be Job. And we'll never suffer like Christ did. But Christ says we will have to suffer. And we will suffer if we're going to be a part of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be a part of the vine, and He tells us, lets us know, there will be some suffering. Ananias came to Paul, he was Saul at the time. Ananias came to Saul, and because the Lord sent him there, and he says, I need you to go tell Saul what great things he will have to suffer. When I got saved, I had no idea what things were in my life as far as living for God. And I think Sister Ann sings a song from time to time. If God were to show us all of our battles at one time, it would destroy us. If God would show us all our victories at one time, it would puff us up, and that would destroy us. But little by little, God gives us the grace as we go through each battle and takes us through those things. Jesus told many people that came to Him, I want to be a part of the vine. I want to be a part of you. He says, okay, pick up your cross and follow me. We have a cross to bear. We have a burden to bear if we're going to be in Christ. You know, in the world, there's a lot of things in the world, and I think some of our problems with our world today is some of these things have gone away. I think Brother Danny was relating, or someone was relating a little bit this evening. But you know, in the world, we have Marines and an army and different militaries. And you know, if you have a desire to be a part of them, you will conform to them. But you know what a problem is? A lot of the world today, no matter even what strong organization it is, people want that organization to conform to their whims. I don't want to do what you marked as what you should do. I want to do what I do. Well, Danny can probably tell you, and somebody any other has been in the military. You join, I guess it's any of the military branch, the Marines or whatever. First thing you're going to get is a haircut.
Yep.
Now, today it isn't a big deal. But when some of you all were younger and things, and even my, a little bit of my, I remember, and as the sister has mentioned about some of the guys, you know, guys had hair clean down here. I imagine for them to walk into the military and for them to shave that off, that was a little difficult.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be a part of them, you're going to be that. And what she mentioned about that man that had fingernails and things. The Bible teaches us how we're to have a standard among God's people. How we're to dress, how we're to appear. If we're going to be a part of Christ, God says there's some standards and things. In the military, they cut their hair. I don't know how many sets of dress clothes were there. Were probably three, I guess. Dress, work, and then just general clothing, I guess. Right? They gave you, and this is what you're going to wear. I want to wear some sweatpants and a t-shirt. No, that's not what you're going to wear. This is what you're going to wear. This is when you're going to eat. Where are you going to eat? This is where you're going to sleep. This is what time you're going to go to bed. If you're going to be a part of a particular organization, some of those organizations are going to require you to do this if you're going to be a part. The world, many times, are willing to surrender their will to that, to be a part of it. But how many people are willing to surrender their will to be a part of Jesus Christ and become a Christian? Brother John stood here one time and preached to us, a pastor from California. He preached to us. He says, when I got saved, God told me you need a haircut. He said, I went in and got a haircut. He goes, and when I left, God says, that's not quite good enough just yet. He got just a little bit of a trim. I think he had some hair down on his shoulders and things. But there's a standard that God has. He says in verse 10 there, I take pleasure in reproach. Take pleasure in reproach. And hear any amen on that one. 381, you don't have to turn here, but I was thinking of the song in our songbook. 381, the old rugged cross. And verse 1 says, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for the world have lost sinners were slain. But the first part it says, an emblem of suffering and shame. See, too many people, they want to get saved, and they just want to, oh, it's happy-go-lucky. I don't have to suffer. I don't have to be a part of the persecutions, all these things, the reproach. I don't have to have any part. I can still be a part of the world and be accepted among the world. There's some suffering and shame. Verse 4 says, to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Now, a lot of times we sing that, we raise our hand, but it's not easy when that comes. It's not easy when your family gives you a reproach. When different scenarios in life, on the job, in the world, and whatever, give you a reproach. Sister Linda was talking to our neighbor a couple weeks ago and started to tell and testify to her a little bit about how she dresses. She goes, I get some comments from young people, young girls in the stores or whatever, how I'm dressed. She's dressed modest. She's dressed the way God requires her to dress. And the person she was speaking to didn't give any type of comment. But a reproach, there's a reproach sometimes of how somebody, I think Bert mentioned this morning, this evening a little bit, he says there's some places I don't go. I go some places, I feel uncomfortable, it's time to move. It's time to leave. people you want to have an approach, a reproach from them. In Hebrews chapter 12. And I may have wrote this wrong verse down. On the verse, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now look at verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame." That's what we have to do if we're going to be in Christ. We have to endure the cross. Endure our families. You know, I think it's interesting, and sometimes I pray. My family and a lot of my friends that I'm pretty close to, and some that I'm not even real close to, they know where I am on Sunday. Not necessarily this location, but they know I'm in church. They know you're in church. They know where I am on Wednesday. They know when they know that we have revivals in the spring and the fall sometimes. Why? Because we didn't just have it one time. It's been my life for 40 years. I have a fall revival and a spring revival and those period of time. And they may not even know what dates or time. Don't you have a revival in the fall and a spring revival? They know some of these things. And some of them, they plan things. And before they even ask you, they know you're not going to be there because it's a Sunday or it's a part of services. Your family. I'll leave that thought. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. "So therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus."
Yeah.
Two times the word "in" is used here. He says, be strong, which we talked about at the beginning. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There is no grace anywhere else except for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't find grace among your friends, among your husband, among your wife, among your parents, among your children. You can't find grace anywhere else except in Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be strong, we have to learn. I was thinking about this verse as I was thinking about the message that I brought from camp meeting. Sufficient grace, as he told Paul. When Paul said, Lord, he prayed three times to have the thorn removed. And God said to him, he says, my grace is sufficient. Paul had to accept that. Paul had to come to a place to be strong in Christ and to accept the grace that he's giving to him. Or else we're not going to make it. Or else we're going to fail if we're not strong in the things of Christ and accepting the grace. The grace, the God of favor, the favor from God. Blessings. Ephesians says there, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourself. I need God's favor. I need God's favor. I don't need necessarily for God to give me favor, but I need God. I need to give God favor, but I need God's favor.
Yeah.
I need His help, His grace, His protection, His overshadowing every moment of today. As I said earlier in the message, God without me is still God. Me without God, I'm nothing. I'm going to be destroyed by the enemy of the soul. James tells us one time, he says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Lord, help us. Help us to be strong in God, to be part of God, to draw closer to God. Let's go to one more last verse of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. Watch ye and stand fast in the faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord. If we have any intentions to keeping the desire that Sister Ann sang about, to making heaven her home, we must stay in Jesus Christ. We must stay a part of the vine. And there's a lot of thoughts we can get into in that scripture. But being a part of the vine, you have to think spiritually here with me. When God engrafts us into the vine and we're a part of Jesus Christ, there is some times that He will prune us. Amen. We don't prune one another. I don't walk up and say, Brother Danny, I think you need to maybe get rid of this or add on to this or those things. That's done by the preaching of the Word of God, but not through the saints and things. But from time to time, God says, I'll have to cut some things off. And that's all my message I've been thinking about or mentioning tonight. Be strong in Christ. There's some time to time God says, I need you to get rid of this.
Amen.
I need you to separate from this. I need you to put on this. Amen. I need you to add to this. Being a part of the vine. My dad, he liked different types of trees and bonsai trees and things like that. And you know what a bonsai tree, some people, they shape them. They allow them to grow and they cut them and they shape them and they might twist them and bend them. My dad had some trees, not bonsai trees, so to speak, and he cut them and he spent a lot of time, just some regular pine trees, and he cut them and spent a lot of time out there in New York. One of my neighbors, I think a family member of theirs, looked over there and one time and dad had a lot done. It took some time and he did it the way he desired it. He cut things, he planted things, he did things what he wanted. And if we want to be a part of Christ, we have to allow Him.
Amen.
I need you to cut your hair. I need you to allow your hair to grow. I need you to dress in modesty. I need you to veer from certain places in the world. Stay away from certain places. I need you to be a part of certain things in the house of God, with the saints of God, being in the church of God, being supported there. There's some things that God requires of us. If we're going to be strong in the Lord. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Page 165. Right. with my heart away. My members saw I glad to hear, for surface Lord to be, to better bless the gospel light, the others Christ may see. My gift is small, it is my all, accept it, Lord, I pray. Lest you be slain, let Jesus reign within my heart.